creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
This week on Culture Click, we begin our final episode of a three-part series on the Hmong culture here in Minnesota. Today, Chong Vang, owner of Chong's Noodle House in downtown Winona, speaks to us about some of the cultural differences between the Hmong communities, holiday customs, and traditional food dishes. Chong will also discuss what it's been like for the Hmong people to settle in the Midwest and how his family has grown to call Winona home.
What about Happy Thanksgiving? Holiday traditions. What kind of different holiday traditions are there?
The only holiday celebration for the Hmong, it's the Hmong New Year or the New Year. And what the holiday, the New Year, is that sometimes you've probably seen it here where there's a big event, whether in La Crosse or in Minnesota, St. Paul. We tend together from people from all different parts of the country or the world to come and to celebrate the New Year together. At the New Year, most of the time when they do it, end of the harvest, after you gather all your crops, all your grains, all of that, then you rest and then you do the celebration together. Also a time where young ladies and young men, they meet each other too, because people coming from different villages, different towns, come in to celebrate this. That's what this thing is about, finding your mates or finding your partners. And traditionally, after the wedding, there are many, many marriages was given to different people because of that reason. So it's celebrated in different villages. And then as a young man who has no relationship yet or still single, you want to go to different villages and you see people come out and celebrate. And then you can see who likes you or who you would like. And then that's how you establish your relationship or friendship with them. It happens in that way many times. And, you know, when you don't have transportation or roads like here, it's really difficult to travel to different villages. So it may take a few months to travel through villages and find people who you like. In certain cases where you said to the young lady, I will be back on this date, on this month, I will be back to marry you. So you have things ready. Sometimes something like gone for 2-3 months and he never show up, she could end up marrying other people. So by the time he gets there, she's already married to someone else. So it's a really hard challenge, but the New Year is the only celebration that the Hmong people have very, very popular and practiced in the culture.
And even here.
Yeah. And even here, they try not to miss out instead of villages to villages celebrating. Now they celebrate city to city and county to county. They tend to do that. So it gives people an opportunity to dress up your own traditional culture clothing.
What is some of that traditional culture clothing? Is there any specific colors that are used more traditionally?
Yes. Typically the clothes that they wear, it also signifies what clan they're from, whether the white Hmong, the green Hmong, what villages they came from. So it tells a lot.
What is the difference between the white Hmong and the green Hmong and the black Hmong? Is there a huge difference?
Or striped Hmong, yeah. Normally you don't hear people talk about striped Hmong or black Hmong. All of those just leading to two types of people, whether you're green or you're white. Traditionally, we call in Hmong, it's blue, actually, blue Hmong. But in English, we say green because the translation. I guess when we say green in English, it actually means in blue. In blue, in Hmong, it actually means green in
okay.
English. But now, most people are familiar with the term of green Hmong. Well, basically, they're not because of the color. No, it's not that. It's just the dialect that you use. For example, when we say liver, in white Hmong, we would say shia. And in green Hmong, we would say sha, shia, and sha.
Okay.
So there's a variation of the language, but they both still Hmong. It's not because, white Hmong are white, and green Hmong, they're green. It's nothing like that. It's just the dialect in the language.
And the two groups can still communicate with each other just fine, then they're just different.
I would say about 90-95% of the time, because green Hmong, they had different, you know, like pots and pans, they had different words of saying that too, and I think in own practice they're different. Most of the time green Hmong would understand what white Hmong is saying. Sometimes white Hmong can understand what the green is saying. Not all the time though, but you still have good enough language to communicate back and forth. It's not like Hmong and English, it's nothing like that, but they still have enough to communicate through and ask questions.
Okay, that's interesting. That's good to know. So there's ethnic foods, and then a lot of people just blanket all these different types of Asian food as Asian food. So what is different about food from the Hmong culture from the other Asian food groups like Korean or Japanese or Chinese, Mandarin?
Well, you know, the Hmong people, because they travel, they're kind of like nomadic people. They travel, and now we have Hmong living all over the world. We have Hmong who live in Germany. We have Hmong who lives in Africa. We have Hmong who lives in places in Europe, France, Great Britain, and Hmong in America. So we have Hmong people living in different parts of the world, and when they travel, they tend to pick up, you know, along the food. Like, for example, fish with spices and herbs. We learned that from the Laotian people. Hmong are simple people. Like I said, they live in mounds. They don't have many things to make it a really unique, authentic food. They know how to, you know, boil green mustard. They know how to fry, you know, deep fry stuff and steam real basic food. But then they came along, they live in Laos, they took some of their ideas. They went to Thailand, they blended in some ideas. They came here, they blended in some ideas here too. One thing that really kind of stands out the Hmong from the other in terms of food is the Hmong sausage, just like the one that we have in the restaurant here. That is a traditional Hmong culture food. Those are one of the things that I know of and I'm aware of. There may be others, but that is the one thing that I know about that the Hmong brought with them to America. But other than that, they pick up from other parts of the world that they bent to.
Yeah. So you told me about the different subcultures already and different dialects.
Uh-huh.
With migration to the States and other parts, has the language changed or morphed into anything different? For example, some people that came to the U.S. were speaking Spanish. It's kind of merged with English and become Spanglish for some people. Has anything similar like that happened?
Yes. Because like I said, when the new young people come about, I would say that when the younger folks speak, they use about 50-60% or even 70% of the time some Hmong and English blend in. So it is a change that many picked up along the way. Not 100% Hmong, but a mixture of Hmong and English together. That's the only difference that I see within our Hmong family that's changing. And because, well, in any different area too for Hmong, because like in Wisconsin we say bubbler, but here we say drinking fountain.
Right.
Hmong, same thing too. Depending on what region you're from or what country you're from. People who live in China, the Hmong language is more blended in the Chinese accent. So you have to listen very careful to really know what they're saying.
And is that mostly seen with the younger generation than
yes.
with the elders, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. What has surprised people that have migrated here about the Minnesota area?
It's cold.
Yeah, definitely.
It's snow. Yeah, you know, my family came in 1980, and one of the things we noticed here, it's awfully cold and often there's a lot of snow. That's why many of our elders left, you know, don't want to live in Minnesota and prefer to live in California or Florida because the climate is much warmer. That kind of similar to Laos and Thailand. So that's why they decided to go to those states versus living in the Midwest, Wisconsin and Minnesota.
We kind of went over some of the challenges and things about trying to fit into the economic environment here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a challenge in generally feeling accepted by other communities?
I can't speak to all communities because different community acceptance to diversity is different. Even not with the Hmong, but overall diversity, each county, each city, it's different how they accepted immigrants or refugees. And with the Hmong, I see that they tend to blend in. Right now, people are starting coming visible in the picture. We have Senator Mee Moore up in the city, who's the first woman in our state politics who's in office. And we have see other people who came into the public eye to blend in, to be accepted. Yes, I mean, when Mee won the vote, it's not because of the Hmong voted for her. Her neighbors that are in a very diverse population voted for her. That's how she got the votes and won the seat. So we see that there is a lot of acceptance in the culture, a lot of acceptance with other people, and that's how some of the success of the Hmong came about. Because your own culture voted for you, yeah, you do get some of those votes. But then you also had to be able to get other people to vote for you to help make your community work. And I see that our community, it's going well. I mean, in Winona, we start buying houses and we start having jobs, and because of the cultural understanding and of the acceptance.
That's great. That's good to hear. And I wrote down that how have the different generations of Hmong differed as it goes down, you know, since the migration?
Well, I'll give you a short example here. in the Hmong traditional cultures, when people come in, you greet them, you talk to them, bring them into your house. But the newer generation, most of them do not call, you know, people, hey, how are you? Come right in the house. That doesn't happen. So we see a cultural shift from where you are very welcome to where you feel very unwelcome, even though you see a child who is 24 or 25, that doesn't say, hi, how are you, come in. It doesn't happen. So there's a shift. Even look in the culture, when you're very young, about 9, 10, people come, you greet them, you bring them, sit down, and you go find mom and dad. But it doesn't happen here. And I'm not saying all the family. I say some family. If I say all, everyone, I would be wrong. But I say some family, they do that. But traditionally, none would do that.
Are there any misconceptions, you think, of the culture here in Minnesota that people talk about, that set straight or anything of that nature?
Well, I don't think so. Like I said, Hmong people are very simple. When they move here, they plan to stay in America and want to contribute back, and they want to be part of the community. The hard part is learning how to adjust to it. That's the challenge part. It's not they don't want it, they want it, but how to adjust, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. How can you change people who have been practicing all their life, from one family to another family, from one generation to another, from father to son, son to, you know, grandson, and down the line. You can't change the fact, and still doing that. But I think it's slowly diminishing because of the newborn and of the record tracking. It's really difficult. Do they want other people to change? No. You're in the world, you're in the country, you have to learn the system. But to change right away, it's impossible.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. It would take forever.
It's hard.
And you depend on the kids, you were saying. It just creates this...
the cycle on and on. So I say, well, yes, they want to blend in. They don't want to change, but they want to change themselves that they can fit in. But changing, it's not the easiest thing to do.
Okay, that's good. This is really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's really, really difficult to talk about a culture within 1 hour or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to have more, like a week or a year to learn the culture. Like, mm-hmm. For example, myself, I am 38 right now, and I still have a lot to learn about the culture itself. When you talk about traditional religion, traditional culture versus Christianity versus Western culture, it's a total different ballgame that I still lack so many things about it, and I'm still learning one day after another. We take it as it comes, and we try as best as we could.
That's all you can really kind of ask for, really, in your own self. If there's something that you think we haven't mentioned,
absolutely.
Yeah.
My family, we've been here almost 30 years now. We came in 1980 and have a wonderful experience coming and seeing the snow for the first time in our life, and it was quite interesting. Seeing in a state where it's very cold, the Midwest of Minnesota, it's awfully cold at that time. But it's glad to be here, and we love, you know, we are here to stay, and we are trying to, as much as we could, to blend in. And my kids are learning English, and they love reading. And between my wife and I, we work hard, and we try. A few years ago, we established our restaurant here called the Chung's Noodle House. I also work full-time elsewhere, too. And then the restaurant as another business here. We are here to stay, and our family is not going anywhere. We are so grateful to the city of Winona and the people who are giving us the opportunity, and especially a sponsor that we have lost contact with, but they help us tremendously. Without them, we wouldn't be here. I sometimes really wish that we haven't lost the contact and had the opportunity to thank them for bringing us to their home, and that we are successful because of them. And we are here because we have businesses, and we are growing because our congressmen and the United States allowed us to come in the beginning. So I am so grateful to be part of this community.
We're so grateful to have cultural diversity in the community, too.
Yeah, you need that because whether you like it, the world is becoming more and more multicultural, and things are changing. It's not the same as 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I think I'm becoming more Winonan.
Oh, yeah.
So if I go shop in the Twin City, I say, oh, God, please, let me go home. So once I hit Highway 61, I say, amen, I'm going home. Because, you know, the traffic, the people, they're just so rude. They're not like Winona anymore, you know.
It's
and
different here.
I just want to get out of there.
It's, so, it's definitely a little, it's kind of like a village here, even though it's a city.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I tend to kind of blend in now that I'm becoming more Winonan. Even though it takes a very long time to become a Winona, maybe forever, but still, I mean, I love the city. When I hit Highway 61, I feel like I'm safe. you know, I'm coming home.
Okay, I understand that completely.
You have been listening to Culture Click, where we have been exploring the Hmong culture. We would like to thank Chong Vang for sharing his insight and knowledge of the Hmong community and traditions. We invite you to join us next Thursday afternoon to see what's in store for next week, here on Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.